Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
You're listening to Escape Adulthood with Kim and Jason. It's June 18th, 2007, and this is show number 20. On today's show, we interview Brett Farmelo, founder of Pursue the Passion, about his experience interviewing influential professionals who are propelled by the love for their work. We also talk about how to find passion in your work, the price of passion, and how to get free ice cream.
Take me back to when I was a child, when everything was good enough, it was good enough for the wild. Coyote sleeps in the moonlight, rabbit goes by the day, snake winds around on a hot afternoon, and eagle flies on his way. Take me back now if you can. Take me back now to the land. People sleep in the moonlight, the children run in the daylight, and that feeling never dies, but it may go away for a while.
Welcome to the Escape Adulthood Podcast Show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. This is Jason with my wife Kim saying hi from Studio 203 in Madison, Wisconsin. You can get in touch with us by sending an email to podcast@kimandjason.com or giving us a call at 608-554-0803. Well,
hola.
How's it going?
Good.
I'm excited because I mentioned that we were in Studio 203, and that's not going to be the case for very much longer.
I know.
We are moving into a new office.
Yes.
In a few months, and so
probably one more podcast here at 203, and the next one will be at 315.
That'll be quite exciting. Yes.
Yeah, we're excited. We've got some... Do you still have paint underneath your fingernails?
A little bit. I threw out some shoes this morning that had some paint on them. So,
Yeah, we've been busy decorating and getting it all ready to go. So, and there's been some links to pictures on our blogs, if you've noticed. So,
yes.
Pretty fun.
Very excited about today's show, our 20th show.
Yeah.
We're still here. That's kind
huge.
Of like the milestone, I guess, of some sort.
For Seems podcasting,
like,
it is.
Yeah. So some people get like three shows up and then quit. So we're persistent, dagnabbit. Right?
Exactly.
All right. Let's start things off with our mind bender. Here we go. This politician holds a degree in business and finance from the University of Wisconsin.
Ooh.
And had earned a small fortune in mail order and real estate before he launched his career in the film industry.
Ooh.
Now, we've had quite a few film industry professionals turned actors in American history. So,
or turned actors, turned politicians.
Turned politicians, yes. Sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
And so we'll give you that answer at the end of the show.
Hmm.
Now, before we get too far, we wanted to remind everyone out there listening that if you have any comments, questions, or feedback on anything we're doing, things you wonder, things, any ideas you have on how to make the show better, we'd love to hear it. You can send us an email at podcast@kimandjason.com. We love reading emails on the air. Or you could even call us at 608-554-0803. You can call us on our Skype line, leave us a message, and we might even play your message during the show. So give us a call, give us some feedback, and help us out. Vote for us on Podcast Alley. Tell a friend about the Escape Adulthood podcast. Help us to spread this message far and wide. We thank you for your support.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Good evening. Here is the news for Palace.
I look good. I mean, really good.
Hey, everyone. Come and see how good I look.
All right. Now, in the news, the first article we have is entitled, To Find Passion in Your Work, Look in the Mirror. It's by Bruce Hetrick. Now, Bruce, this is one of those articles that I seriously wanted to read word for word. So if you get a chance, read the link or, you know, follow the link and read it because it is just jam-packed with good information. He talks about this woman, Elizabeth Gilbert, and her philosophy on this, and he kind of comments on his philosophy on it. Something that Elizabeth had mentioned is that clever, ambitious, and always in search of greater efficiency, we Americans have in two short centuries created a world of push-button, round-the-clock comfort for ourselves. The basic needs of humanity, food, clothing, shelter, entertainment, transportation, and even sexual pleasure, no longer need to be personally labored for or ritualized or even understood. All of these things are now available for us for mere cash or credit, which means that nobody needs to know how to do anything anymore, except the one narrow skill that will earn enough money to pay for the conveniences and services of modern living. But in replacing every challenge with a shortcut, we seem to have lost something. We are an increasingly depressed and anxious people, and not for nothing. We like to call that
adultitis.
Adultitis. Arguably, all of these modern conveniences have been adopted to save us time. But for what? And it goes on to say some
television.
Work. And goes on and to talk about some of the things that we do with this excess time. But they argue that it also leads to a loss of passion, which is kind of our theme for the day. Passion doesn't emanate from the television or your supervisor. It evolves from the heart. Whether you choose to exercise that muscle at work, with your kids, or your favorite cause, the man or woman in the mirror triggers the trait. If you view work as nothing more than that, more than, as Gilbert described it, one narrow skill that will earn enough money to pay for the conveniences and services of modern living, then no, you most likely won't find passion on the job. And then it goes on to say, the author had this friend who had passed away. This is a great quote that kind of summarized the whole article. This is a quote that this person wanted read at their funeral, which was just recently when this person wrote the article. So that life is not a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in an attractive and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in sideways, good champagne in one hand, strawberries in the other, body thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and screaming, "Holy crap, what a ride." And I actually changed the wording on that.
Whatever. Crap?
Yeah.
It was something
else. I made it
nicer.
I made it a little family friendly. So, what a ride. So, I just thought this is a great conversation piece because here we are, like, in two short decades, we're talking, you know, our grandparents were part of the Depression.
Yep.
And
there are still people living that live through the Depression.
Right. So, it wasn't long ago when the things that we take for granted weren't things that were taken for granted, you know, food, stable income, that kind of thing. And now we've gotten into such a rut where we're just so happy with our, not to make it seem so terrible as gluttony, but we're so, I don't know, bored and sloth-like in a lot of ways, coming home to our televisions and getting addicted to show after show, inactive society, overweight. We know all this. This is nothing new. But and then we sit and wonder, why aren't we passionate about our work,
yeah.
You know?
Why does my job suck?
Right.
Well, just some of those numbers, like, if you add up, you know, how many hours of TV you watch a day, and then add that up to a week and a month and a year, and it's like, that's scary.
Sad.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like a couple work weeks.
Yeah, it just...
Easily.
It's just really pathetic, and I know that's something that we've made a conscious decision of getting our TV consumption down. But, and you know, another thing that I think kind of falls in line with this is we had the opportunity a couple weeks ago to go to Milwaukee for a Get Motivated seminar. Mm-hmm. And one of the speakers there, they had Zig Ziglar was there, and Bill Cosby was there, and Colin Powell was there, and Susie Orman, who was a very famous celebrity financial advisor who got very famous from being on Oprah, probably.
Sure.
And she mentioned that the day that she was there in Milwaukee was her birthday.
Right.
And some of her friends in New York asked her what she was doing on her birthday. She said, "I'm going to Milwaukee to speak." And the people were like, "What?
Appalled.
Why
you have
would
all this
you
money.
Do that on your birthday?"
Yeah.
And Susie said, "You know what? I felt really sorry for them because this is my life. This is not just work or a job. It's who I am. It's what I love to do more than anything else. Why wouldn't I want to spend my birthday doing what I love?" And I think that if everyone had that attitude about life, things would be a lot different in this world. And I think that it's interesting, just that whole concept of what am I doing with my life, and what's the point of it? And the article brings up some interesting things about not very long ago, we didn't have all these things we have today, and now what are we doing with all this time we're saving?
And now, it, as it talks about, we're stuck with adultitis, you know? Mm-hmm. So what is the disconnect? And it's not really rocket science. It's just having the guts to ask yourself in the mirror the question, which I think is what the article is all about. And like I said, the beginning half of the article, check it out, because he gives example after example of person who kind of gets to a point in their life where they are looking in the mirror and they're saying, this is not what I had in mind. And then they make some changes. So I didn't get into all that because we have a great example for our interview to talk about with that. But that was a pretty neat article.
Yeah, definitely. Good one. I have one here from the, it's actually from news14.com. I think it's out of North Carolina, perhaps, but the actual article is off the Newswire from Orlando, Florida. Everybody dreams of their dream job, but following your passion can come at a price if you don't prepare properly. Lisa Yee and Lisa Hall were two women who faced a tough choice. Continue working at jobs that didn't excite them or pursue their passion. I took a 50% pay cut, says Lisa Hall. Gone were the big bonuses and stock options that came with her investment job at a Fortune 500 company. Now, Hall works for a small nonprofit agency. Before diving into her new job, though, Hall tested the waters by volunteering to be on the development board. One of the ahas for me was the time I spent doing the board work for that organization felt so much better than the time I spent in my office, she says. Hall also created her own personal mission statement. As I looked at other opportunities, I really looked at how does my personal mission statement and what I want out of life align with that organization and that opportunity, she says. Hall says her new job is rewarding, but it cost her a large paycheck, her personal assistant, company-paid life insurance, disability insurance, stock options, 2 weeks of vacation time, and some spare time. But she says, my compensation was very good, and it was hard to walk away from those things, she says. But at the end of the day, I'm doing work here that I love. I also have the opportunity to have a meaningful impact on other people's lives, which I wasn't getting in my prior job. Now, this other woman, Lisa Yee, her decision to leave Magic Pencil Studios, a successful creative services company she built with her husband, meant more coupon clipping and a lot less eating out. When I was a child, my dream was always to be an author, she says. Writing a book was always my dream, and I felt the timing was right. Yee's passion for writing paid off when her manuscripts were picked up by Arthur Levine, the same editor who discovered J.K. Rowling, author of the best-selling Harry Potter series. You may have heard of them.
Yeah, I think so.
In fact, her first book sold over 250,000 copies. Now, they have a couple tips that they share. Words of advice for people who wish to follow in their footsteps. One is make a financial assessment and prepare accordingly. Number two, decide out what's important in your current lifestyle. Mm-hmm. What's important about the way you're currently living? What would you like to have? Things like that. Number four, figure out what gives you satisfaction. Mm-hmm. That's what it all comes down to ultimately. And then number four is act. Once you've devised your plan of action, Yee and Hall recommend acting on your dreams. I had this huge fear of failure, says Yee. If I had just tried, who knows? I might have gotten here much sooner.
Hmm. Wow. That's interesting that she found more passion doing, what was she saying, the board work in the evenings?
Yeah, than nonprofit.
Right.
This link we'll put in the show notes. The link to the story actually has a video from the TV show, the news story that they had, which is kind of neat. But one thing to me that comes out here is both of the women talk about in this change that there were a lot of changes to their lifestyle and sacrifices that they made they were used to, such as the insurance and the personal assistant and all that stuff. And, I frankly get tired of people who, you know, when you talk about following your dream or living their passion, say they can't do it,
right,
and say they don't have an option, they don't have a choice. Now, that just ticks me off.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you. Because here's why. Everybody has a choice. Now, here's the thing. The choices may not be something you want to do. You may not want to give up your stock options.
Right.
You may not want to give up your personal assistant. You may not want to give up the company car. But do not tell me that you don't have a choice.
Right.
You do. And, you know, that's all well and good if you want to stick where you are. Everyone has that right. But I just think that these women are an example of, like, how much more fulfilling your life can be when you're going after something that you're passionate about.
Right. And I think those people who, you know, like you said, don't want to give up all the securities, if they turn around then and say, well, you know, it's nice that you pursue your passion, pat, 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 but I really, you know, my life's different, then I think that's completely wrong. They just need to, if you decide that you don't want to give up the and take the risks that are necessary to pursuing your passion, then you have to live with your consequences, yeah. You know, 100% responsibility for what your choices have led you to, which, right. You know, say that to and someone's face, it's not as easy, but, you know.
Yeah, and you're doing yourself a disservice when you try to make it seem like you don't have any choices.
Right.
I think that's kind of sad.
Well, and something that you and I talk about all the time is that it's not a coincidence that the majority of entrepreneurs in the United States are immigrants. Mm-hmm. And the opportunity that we have been blessed with here in the United States is just so immense. I mean, there's just opportunity after opportunity. And so many businesses that get started and on, you know, putting tons of bills on credit cards and, you know, things that aren't always recommended. But it's like we have the chance to even try it, yep. You know. So it's just a challenge, I think, to really evaluate what you want to go after.
Yeah, totally.
All right, for our interview today, I'm so excited to share this with you. We are interviewing Brett Farmelo about pursuing a passion-filled career. Take a listen.
Half the American workforce is not satisfied with their job, and only a fifth apply a passion towards their career. As this trend trickles to students entering the working world, people continue to pursue a path that leads them further from their true dreams. Pursue the Passion addresses this issue by interviewing people who are propelled by a love for their work. Today we are happy to have with us Brett Farmelo, who founded Pursue the Passion in 2006 when faced with a career decision upon graduating college. He conceived the idea of conducting exploratory interviews with influential professionals to discover the path to a passionate career. Brett's goal is to create and develop resources that help individuals not only identify their passions, but also assist with the pursuit. Brett, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me. I love what you guys are doing.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
We definitely love what you're doing. We're anxious to share it with our listeners today.
Yes, looks really cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay, so starting off, okay, you graduate college, and you, as the story goes, you and some friends decide to spend the summer traveling around interviewing people about their passions. Tell us, how did that come about? How did you work out the logistics? I'm sure there had to have been a few people who thought you were nuts, you think?
Yeah, there was a lot of people that thought we were nuts for traveling around in a huge RV and interviewing people. But I'll tell you how it all came about. And when I was a senior in college, the question of what should I do with my life definitely hit me as hard as it came, you know, as a student with graduation just around the corner. And what I found as an accounting student, the natural next step was really to go into an accounting career, but the problem was that it didn't really feel natural to me. And the more that I talked to my classmates and the more that I talked to the nervous people waiting in the interview room, I found that they were kind of in the same scenario where they were just kind of forced into the natural next step. And I just began to think that there had to be some other way to go about the whole process of figuring out the next step. So what I did is I just decided to go to people that had answered the what should I do with my life question, that were successful and loving life and loving their work, and I just decided to talk with them about where they were at my age and how they got to where they are today. So pretty simple thing, but it was pretty special. Our 2006 tour had 75 people on the tour.
Wow.
And as far as working out the logistics of it all, we found these interviews basically by referring to family and friends or journalists that would refer us to these passionate people, and then they would just talk to us about their career path. It was great.
That's cool. Now, you guys had like a RV. Is that what you used to kind of travel around?
We had a 1988 Fleetwood Bounder that broke down. Let me see. The very first day on the trip, it broke down, and it also broke down on our way to Las Vegas, and we had to abandon it when we got to the tip of San Francisco, we had to continue on in my mom's Toyota 4Runner. So,
Those hills in San Francisco, you need something pretty reliable to get through
Definitely. I mean, we were plane, train, and automobile type of thing to just get around the country. So
that's awesome.
So, yeah, that's how we got around.
I bet you have some good stories of just...
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that will... Anytime you're traveling around the country, as I'm sure you guys know, you definitely got some good things. But when you're traveling around and... in a piece of, you know, RV with three guys, then you'll definitely have a few stories that involve duct tape.
That's awesome. So what would you say that you learned from your first tour last year? And what surprised you the most about the whole experience?
Okay. So the first question was what I really learned from our first tour last year. And what I really learned is that you don't have to figure out life or at my age, you know, at 22 years old, or at 30 years old, or at 40 or 50, life is kind of like a process, and all those experiences that you have feed into what you're ultimately here to do, and I truly believe that, and what I found in talking with 75 people is that they all answered the what should I do with my life question kind of at their own will. You know, it wasn't like a set in stone age where at 25 years old you better know what you want to do with your life. So that's the one thing that I really took away from the tour, is the confidence that, you know, I'm not the only one that is questioning what direction I should take. So that's kind of what I took away from that first tour.
Okay.
As far as what surprised me about the whole experience, I was very surprised at how open people were to willing to talk with three college kids.
Okay.
You know, just the people in the interviews completely opened up, and they told me in the interviews that, you know, they're like, I haven't told anybody about this before in my life. You know, I wouldn't even tell my best friend this. And here they were just telling a complete stranger, you know, seeking advice and direction about their basically life's journey and their guidance. So, you know, that was my biggest surprise, is just if you go and say, if you ask for advice, you're going to receive it, and I mean that totally blew me away.
Why do you think people were so open, like you said, telling you things that they hadn't told anyone? Is it because maybe they've never been asked the question, or did you have any kind of
I think that's it because you know, the good majority of the people that we interviewed were just ordinary people. They weren't like a CEO of Starbucks or anything like that. They were just ordinary people that probably hadn't been asked that question before, you know, about their, you know, life's journey and what kind of guidance they could give to college students everywhere that aspire to make something better for themselves. So, you know, that's what we were really there to do, is to chronicle their guidance based on their whole life. So I think that's why they were open with us.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
Kim and I go around. One of the things we encourage people to do is exactly what you're doing, of trying to figure out what are you passionate about, what do you enjoy doing, and going after it. And you know, I think I am a firm believer that you're never going to be really fulfilled in life unless you're doing something you really like to do. Otherwise, what's
right.
the point? And you know, we get a lot of people that look at us and they say, "Oh, it must be nice that you guys have this job or whatever," and they don't really realize how much work or sacrifices it takes. But
definitely,
I'm sure you have run across people who have seen your website, read your interviews, and they say, you know, I'd like to follow my passion. That would be great, but it's just not that easy. My situation is different. Maybe they think they're too young or too old or have a family or they have a certain job they can't break away from. What would you say to the person who says that I'd like to do that, but I just can't because my situation is different?
Yeah, you know, there's always going to be a million excuses that you could have that will basically shelve your passions and not allow you to pursue them. But, you know, the advice that, at least what I would say to somebody like that, is that if we can figure out a way to completely travel the country in some huge RV and really like pursue our passions, and figure out a way that like we can still be alive and sustain ourselves, then you can go do whatever you want. You know, that's probably the most outlandish thing in the world is like, you know, like finding some way to travel the country. And, you know, I left my corporate job as well to do this. And it, I mean, if you can gather up the courage and you have some kind of direction and you know what your passion is, then you might as well go out and do it. You can, there's a million ways that you could go about it. And the thing that really prevents people is not knowing about the possibilities, but kind of makes itself up as it goes, as this tour comes together as well. I'm realizing that more and more.
I think a key word you said was courage, because like you said, you left the safe job. You know, with anything that is not safe, there's going to be some risk involved, and I think that's something that just we tend to shy away from, just our human nature. Well, so good for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't have risk, everybody would be pursuing their passion. You know, it's you got to take a chance. Otherwise, like, I mean, everybody would be successful. The people that are truly successful and find their calling in life have taken that risk and just decided to do what they want to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, okay, so how about you? I know that part of the original concept was to help you kind of get some guidance on what exactly you want to do with your life. Are you any closer to that?
As far as answering the question,
what should
I do with my life?
Yeah, again, not like you said, not that it has to be a beyond. I think that's the thing with
the process.
Graduate college, and it's like, all right, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? And it's like this overwhelming burden. And not that you have to have anything, but what does it look like in the next couple of years for you? Where do you want to be headed?
You know, I'm hoping to pursue my passion with these tours for as long as I can. If I can provide the kind of inspiration and the guidance and the support, and basically I'm not looking to make a huge profit, as long as I can cover the electricity for 110 degree heat in Phoenix or pay the rent.
That's important.
You know, I'm not going to complain. If I could just get by for the next few years and do what I want to do, then, you know, that's exactly what I want to do with my life. It's all about figuring out your lifestyle first and then basically making your decisions off of that. And with me, my life is simple. I don't need to be driving a Lexus or anything. I could get by walking, you know, or driving a huge tour bus. So
that's huge. I read a book recently. I forget what it was, but it talked about that really these days it's more about what you just said, figuring out what your lifestyle is going to be. Back in the old days, people would consider success by how many mansions you had around the country, or if you had a Learjet or any of that stuff. And really now it's like more about the freedom to live where, when, how you want. And I think that's something that you're hitting on there, is it's not about all of the bells and whistles necessarily, but the freedom to be able to, like you said, do this summer tour and meet new people and kind of spread this word is really kind of a cool thing, I think, that we've been seeing kind of continue with this whole lifestyle idea.
Yeah, I mean, having the lifestyle you want is priceless. You know, that's the truth, because you can have all the cars, the money in the world, but if you don't have the lifestyle you want, then, you know, what's the use of it? So that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, we agree, definitely. So what are you looking forward to the most about this year's tour? It sounds like it's starting to really... When do you leave, and what's the thing that you're most excited about?
We're traveling 14,000 miles in 90 days in a 31-foot tour bus. I mean, if you can't get excited about that, then exactly. You know, hop in when we go out to Wisconsin. But
yeah.
As far as what I'm looking forward to most about this year's tour, besides traveling the country, is really realizing the full dream that I had when I started Pursue the Passion in 2006. Because as I mentioned earlier, you know, our RV, Maggie Miracles, broke down a few times. And you know, our original intent was to take this RV all around the country.
Yeah.
And with our tour in 2007, that's exactly what we're doing. We have the right resources in place. We have the RV to get around the country. And that's what I'm looking forward to most, is realizing my dream when I first set out to do this thing.
That's cool. Now, along those lines, you'd mentioned earlier, if you guys can figure out how to go around the country and do this, and anyone can figure out what they want to do, how did you guys finance it? I know, have you guys been getting like sponsors, and how did you make it happen in terms of the logistics of lodging and eating and gas and all that stuff?
Well, we're famous for cutting corners that you never knew existed. You know, we'll crash on any couch that is available to save, you know, $80 on a hotel. We also, with this next tour, we have a rule of never eating alone for lunch, which is really cool because we get to meet some great people, and you know, that cuts back on a little meal expense here and there.
Yeah.
But besides, you know, cutting corners, because this is intended to be like a low budget trip, we do have a few sponsors that help us out, cover expenses and everything. You know, in return, we just give them some advertising on our site and go from there.
That's cool.
That's awesome. It takes some ingenuity and some, you know, creativity to think about, okay, so we want to travel the country. How can you actually do this? Which I'm sure if you guys have, you know, relatives, they're probably the first ones to ask you that question. Or,
right.
You know, friends with reliable jobs of like, okay, sounds great, pat, pat. But, well, how is that actually going to work? How are you going to pay for gas with gas prices being how they are and all that? So good for you for...
I get that all the time. I have a lot of trouble introducing what I'm doing, like, you know, around my girlfriend's family. Like, Brett, what do you do for a living?
Get ready.
You know, I used to be an accountant, but now, you know, it's a little career transition, I guess.
Yeah, awesome. Well, that's kind of how Kim was when she brought me around and said that I wanted to be a cartoonist and stuff. So that's, but I tell you what, when you put yourself and are persistent with something and stick to it, I don't care what you're trying to do, I have noticed that people will respect you. That it may seem crazy, but if you have the guts to go for it, I've noticed that people will really kind of look up to you. And then to be able to have that example to say, hey, if I can do it, you can do it, is very powerful.
Definitely.
So we always like to ask a question about childhood, of course, with our podcast. So we're talking here about passion.
Yep.
What, Brett, were you most passionate about as a kid?
So I was thinking about this question the other day, and I don't know if I was truly passionate about anything as a kid, but I had a lot of interests that coincidentally fit into what we're doing right now, and one of those interests was video games. And my favorite video game when I was a kid was Cruising the USA. And so,
Oh my god.
I would be playing that thing, you know, driving through Iowa and having flies hit my windshield, and I'd be cruising through New York, San Francisco, everything. And so it's ironic that this tour, like, is our Cruising the USA video game where we're traveling. So that's the interest that really just fits into what we're doing today. It's weird how you look back and how your development as a child will help you develop as an adult as well.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Now, was that on a Nintendo or a Sega or what game?
That was back on the Nintendo day.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Well, good thing you weren't into Oregon Trail. Then you'd, like, try to get...
Covered wagon.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever played that. That was real popular when I was little.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
How
cool.
Very cool. Now, your website is PursueThePassion.com.
PursueThePassion.com, yep, and we blog about the whole journey on the website as well. We update that thing every single day with all of our latest developments, and you could also read about all of our interviews that we're conducting. We have about 200 scheduled for this upcoming tour.
Wow, which, that's cool.
I don't know if we'll be still standing after all of it, but you can read all about it. So.
And I saw that you came out with a little e-book recently of kind of a summary of all of the advice from last year, which I took a look at. It was pretty cool.
Advice for the aspiring individual. Yeah,
okay. So we'll put links to all that in our show notes and stuff.
Good
for sure.
Good resource. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty proud of that book, by the way, just because, you know, once I got back from the tour, this was always my goal, to write a book. And, you know, we had an agent, an agent contacted me, I signed with him, and I, like, poured so many hours into writing a proposal and writing a book and everything like that. And after the end of all that, it was unsuccessful. Every publisher said no, you know, we have something similar to it or whatever. And so this ebook is really, like, an end product of our efforts with 2006, which is, you know, something I'm proud of. There's a lot of photography in there that we took from photos around the country, so I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, it's very cool, and there's a lot of cool, just a lot of really great advice for anybody, whatever stage of career that you're in, whether you're a new graduate or maybe you're 40, 50 years old going through that midlife crisis. So,
and even if for the folks who are pursuing their passion, it's neat to hear about others. I love to hear about others doing similar things, not similar like day-to-day things, but taking risks and going for it and hearing their success stories, because it kind of keeps you motivated in those, you know, valleys. So.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to meeting you. I don't know if we mentioned that. We're going to be talking with Brett in Madison in August when you
come
through.
That's right.
So.
Get to see that the tour bus. That'll be cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. So we'll definitely have to have a meal with you.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Sounds good.
We'll be out in Madison, August 25th, I think it was.
Yeah, so. End of August.
That's
cool.
Impressive that you can remember the date.
Yeah.
I've gone over the tour schedule so many times, so, yeah.
All right. Well, Brett, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule, and we just wish you the best as you kick off your tour, and look forward to seeing you in a few months.
Thanks a lot, Kim and Jason. I appreciate being on the show and everything, and all of your encouragement and support.
Okay.
So we will see you soon.
Sounds good.
Safe travels.
Take care.
All right.
Bye, Brett.
All right. Bye.
Well, I, for one, am pumped to be able to take a tour of that tour bus.
Yes.
When they come to Madison.
Go on a little ride and take some video.
A little joyride, maybe. That'd be cool.
What a cool, I think the thing that was fun to hear the most was about when he was a kid and how he would play that video game.
Yeah,
like,
that was
crazy.
Hilarious.
I think that is awesome.
Yeah. And again, just goes back to the whole thing of, if you're not sure what you're supposed to do with your life, go back to your childhood and look for clues, because they're always there. And it was just really cool to see a young kid like that not accept the inevitable. Like, you talked about being in these interviews and be like, well, I guess the next logical step is to do this. And most of the people are just kind of like lemmings, and they kind of go off and do that. And so for him to be able to stand up and say, you know what, I think there's more to it than this, and I want to figure out what it is, even though I'm not even exactly sure what it is. So kudos to him and his friends, and I can only see great things ahead for these guys.
Definitely. And definitely check out that ebook, because if you're who doesn't want to know the answers to these questions, and to hear it firsthand from interviews all over the country is
pretty, people who have done it.
Pretty unique.
Yeah.
Today, one of these lucky contestants will win his or her weight in fish right here on Wheel of
Oh, goody, goody. I've done a good thing, and I get a prize.
Now, last month, we asked our interviewee, which was Lindsay Cox, we asked her what was something that she enjoyed doing at home as a kid. And so we have the tradition of asking the very same question to the listeners. So we asked, what was something you enjoyed doing at home as a kid? And one of our people we picked out as a winner, her name is Carla Feeney. And she said that she loved playing board games and card games with her family. And if that isn't a decidedly nice, low-tech thing to do at home, I just like the simple, easy answer of that.
And I actually emailed back and forth with her afterward, and we were talking about what her favorite games were.
Uh-huh.
And I believe she said she liked to play Life. Do you remember
Life,
that one?
Yes, that was a good one. Yeah.
And
what career were you going to pick?
Yeah, how many kids?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to take those little pink or blue people and put them in the back seat of your little cars. And
yeah.
I think that game goes way back too, so that might be
That's a classic.
Definitely.
Yeah. So Carla, congratulations, you're the winner of a $20 gift certificate to the Kim and Jason Lemonade Stand. For everyone else out there listening this month, talked about Brett, you heard us talk about passion. What's the question, Kim?
Yes. What were you most passionate about as a kid? So, as we talked about, there are clues to that as to what you're supposed to be doing here as an adult. So, think about it. What were you most passionate about? Email us or leave a voicemail on our Skype number, and we'll see if you can win.
And what was our Skype number again, Kim?
Yeah, that number is 608-554-0803.
Welcome to KimandJason.com.
Supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
All right, now for the K&J update portion of our show. Jason and I are very excited to share that we have recently launched on June 1st the first of something that we've been dreaming about for a very long time.
Dun, 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 dun.
The Kim and Jason magazine. We've actually called it Escape Adulthood. Yep. Not a surprise. But it is a 32-page magazine.
Yep.
That our first one here that launched on June 1st is digital format, and so we're launching it for free. So if you haven't downloaded it, get on to there and get that thing downloaded, and there'll be a link to that in the show notes, of course.
Yes, there will be.
But check it out. So many cool things. We actually did a lot of research, and this has been a dream for us for a long time to get this going, because it is this whole escape adulthood, adultitis thing is all about a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And what better way to promote a lifestyle than to have a magazine about it? So it is filled. The first issue, the theme was Rediscovering You. So kind of that whole summer look at yourself and
getting back to basics and what are you supposed to be doing with your life kind of thing.
Kind of ties in good with our discussions today.
Yep.
Definitely check it out. Our next edition, we're going to be putting out 4 a year, once a quarter. So the next one will come out on September 1st, and we are hard at work getting our interviews and our contributors lined up right now. So
got a long list of good ones.
I know.
Probably got too many than we need, so we're... It's going to be a good issue.
It definitely is. So if you have not checked it out, like we said, do so. And I have to say that one of my favorite things about the magazine is the design and how great that looks. And something about magazines, it just kind of draws your eye to the photographs and the lists and the different things. So it is so fun to read. Much different than, I think, not much different, but different than things we put out in the past. So
yeah.
Unique to the magazine format. So check it out.
And a little side note is, as Kim, I think, mentioned that they're going to be printed, the next ones.
Oh, I don't think I did mention that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it, but go ahead. What's the deal with that?
Well, yeah, the first one was digital and free. The second and consecutive ones after that will be printed as well as digital.
Right.
So if you want to receive the printed versions, you can join Club K&J Level 3, which is Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious Level.
Yep. Get them mailed right to your door.
Yes. So that's a real quick, easy way to get those mailed to you, because I know some people just like to have it on their coffee table and pull it out when they want to, versus printing it off on your printer. So
it'll be cool. We're looking forward to it. The other thing I wanted to bring up quickly is the ice cream. You scream, we all scream for ice cream. We've got an ice cream promotion going on right now with the Kim and Jason Lemonade Stand.
Yes.
And here's how it works. We are giving away ice cream, free ice cream, Häagen-Dazs ice cream.
Ooh.
Not just your little crap generic ice cream. This is good stuff. Okay. Free pint of ice cream if you place an order of only $5 or more.
Wait a second.
No, yeah,
are
exactly.
We eating our shirt on this?
We might.
We're losing our shirt, aren't
this
we?
Might be our last month in business, let's be honest. But we figured that we're going to give this a try because it would be fun.
It's
too cool to be fun. So it's the heck of a deal. I mean, I don't know how many we've gotten some certificates on. Basically good for a pint of Häagen-Dazs ice cream. So you go to the grocery store, pick one out, give them the certificate. Boom, you're eating ice cream in like 2 seconds if you really bring a spoon with you. But
who needs a spoon? Just start licking it out of the thing.
Yeah, there you go.
You know?
So we wanted to do this. We want to give it a try. It's while supplies last.
Okay.
So definitely check it out. Check out the all the stuff. We've got all kinds of new stuff on the store. And for a limited time, we're giving away free ice cream. So
yum.
Cool stuff.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts, the Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
That is so cool.
Cool.
Oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
The cool thing portion of our show. This is something cool to help you escape adulthood. We have on our store, we've recently added some hip hardcover journals.
Hip.
Hip,
like
trendy, fun.
Oh, not like
vibrant.
Body part.
No. Okay. But it's hard to explain, of course. But you can see a picture of one in the show notes. But I don't know how many different designs we have, but they are very fun, bright, lively. They're lined, which I like. The pages are lined, 160 mm-hmm. lined pages, and they have one of those cool little elastic things that keeps it closed, so that if you put it in your bag, it's not gonna, you know, open up and rip your pages and all that good stuff. But the reason I picked this as our cool thing this month is because in all this talk of passions and thinking about what you want your life to be and making changes and risks and all that good stuff, you need to start writing some things down. Like, it's just, it actually is a prerequisite to accomplishing your dreams. It seriously is, to start writing some of these things down, dreaming and putting down visions and just brainstorming of how this could actually happen. So what better way to do it than to put it in a journal and not on that scrap paper that's going to get thrown away, that is just unassuming to those that are cleaning up your house. And, you know, so that's our cool thing for the month.
There's something too about the hardcover thing, because I've gotten a few hardcover journals lately and have been keeping my ideas and thoughts down. And there's just something about the binding of the book and the hardcover. It makes it feel more valuable. Yep. And they are valuable. And it just kind of helps that attitude and that mentality that I really want to write stuff in here because this is important stuff.
And I have important thoughts.
Yeah. And they are worth a lot of in regards to career and life and passion and family and all that stuff. And so write that down. And only 1% of the people actually write down their goals.
1% of all people.
That's terrible.
Write down their goals. And there is like a huge
99%.
Yeah.
You need to be in that 1%.
There's a huge link between the chances of your goals coming true if they're written down and the fact that they probably won't come true if they're not. It's just, it's accountability. It's like the subconscious accountability that happens when it's actually written somewhere. So definitely get a journal and start this today.
All right, well, I know everyone's been waiting to find out the answer of the Mindbender. We asked which politician holds a degree in business and finance from the University of Wisconsin and had earned a small fortune in the mail order in real estate before he launched his career in the film industry.
Can I give a hint?
Okay, sure.
Okay, this is my impersonation of this person.
Oh, great. I want to skip past this, dear listener.
I'll be back. Anyone? You got it?
I got nothing.
I'll be back.
Got nothing.
Come on.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Did you know that?
I hope he'll be back to Wisconsin since this is his alma mater.
Yeah. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I think I heard once that he did go to a Wisconsin school, but obviously people knows he had the career in bodybuilding before he came into the film industry. And so that's kind of interesting that he has that business background. And
yeah,
of course, now is the governor of California.
California. See, there I think my impersonation was pretty good.
Not bad.
We'll see what the listeners think. Comment.
Well, yeah. Let them humor her. Humor her. Go ahead.
What's up, Doc?
Now, this won't hurt a bit.
Now, for today's prescription is pretty simple. It's a mental prescription. I found this quote in one of the news articles that I read earlier about the two women who quit their jobs to get into new jobs that were more in line with their passion. They had one of them had a really cool quote, and I just want you to listen to this statement. If you go ahead and take a risk when it comes to pursuing your passion, you'll never regret having tried it. But if you don't, you'll always wonder how it could have been. Just think about that. Let that roll around. I know there's a lot of courage that goes into pursuing your passion. There's a lot of fear involved. And just think about that, because me personally, that's what got me to where I am today, is finally deciding that I didn't want to wake up at the end of my life wondering what if. And it's true. You won't regret taking a risk, even if it doesn't go exactly how you hoped it would. But you'll probably regret never having tried. So just put that in the back of your mind and think about that for a while.
Well, that's it for today's show. Be sure to check out escapeadulthood.com for today's show notes, featuring links to some of the things we talked about here today. For Jason, this is Kim signing off from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening, and remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.